From Maine Public Radio and MainePublic.org, I'm Nicole Ogrisco with the news on This Day in Maine, Wednesday, May 14th, 2025. The U.S. Border Patrol says it arrested 113 people in Maine last month, the highest monthly total in nearly 25 years. The agency also coordinated with ICE to fly some of those detained out of state. Ari Snyder has more.
In a statement released Wednesday, Border Patrol says the increase in arrests was the result of expanded enforcement throughout the state, not an increase in illegal crossings. And the agency says earlier this week it coordinated with ICE to fly 29 of those people from Portland to other parts of the country for further processing. A video posted to social media Wednesday shows a number of people in handcuffs and ankle cuffs standing on the tarmac at the jetport and walking upstairs into an airplane as Border Patrol agents look on. A spokesperson for Customs and Border Protection did not immediately respond to a request for comment. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Ari Snyder.
South Portland police say officers briefly detained a Deering High School student at gunpoint yesterday in a case of mistaken identity. In a statement released today, a city spokesperson said a South Portland SWAT team and members of the Portland Police Department were serving a search and arrest warrant near the high school for a man named Miles Hibbard. When officers arrived, they saw someone who they believed to be Hibbard getting out of a car and detained him with guns drawn. Officers released him minutes later after realizing he was not the person they were looking for. They also briefly detained another person who was in the car. In a statement, South Portland Police Chief Dan Ahern said he's spoken with family members of both individuals and called the incident an unfortunate circumstance. Ahern said the department will continue to review the incident. Maine regulators say they intend to examine how the state's goals for greenhouse gas reduction may affect natural gas utilities and their customers. The Public Utilities Commission will consider climate warming pollution in decisions on gas infrastructure and contracts, says Commissioner Carolyn Gilbert.
Uncertainty around how natural gas usage will change in response to the state's climate goals creates challenges for utility planning and the commission's evaluation of the prudence of utility investments.
Maine law requires the state to reduce greenhouse gas emissions by 45% by the end of the decade and by 80% by 2050. Fewer than 1 in 10 Maine households use natural gas for heating, a substantially lower proportion compared to other New England states. The U.S. saw its largest single-year decline in overdose deaths last year, down 27%. Maine followed the trend, reporting a 20% decrease. Marcella Sorg at the Margaret Chase Smith Policy Center says there are many possible reasons for the decline, but one might be the chemical makeup of the drugs involved.
The amount of fentanyl may have changed. We can't really measure that, but the amount of drugs that have the stimulants in them or mixed in with them, that has increased.
Sorg says almost all people who die of an overdose in Maine have multiple drugs noted on their death certificates, even if fentanyl is the primary cause. The Environmental Protection Agency announced today that it will remove previously announced limits on some PFAS and delay implementation for standards on others, a move that Maine advocates call unprecedented and dangerous. The EPA will remove maximum contaminant levels for 4 PFAS, including one found in high levels in Brunswick after the accidental discharge of firefighting foam last year at the former Naval Air Base. Emily Carey Perez de Aleo is the executive director for Defend Our Health. She says even though Maine has its own drinking water standards, national standards are designed to protect communities across the country.
These EPA maximum contaminant levels that they're stepping back from and rolling back, these are only targeting the PFAS that we have the strongest evidence of health harms on, and they're still walking them back.
She says that when the EPA standards were announced last spring under the Biden administration, they included $1 billion to help water systems and private well owners address the contamination. With the rollback, it's not clear what will happen to those funds. Congresswoman Shelley Pingree is blasting a Republican cost-cutting measure that could require Maine to pay tens of millions of dollars for food assistance Kevin Miller has more.
The federal government currently covers 100% of the benefits paid out through the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, which is also known as SNAP or food stamps. Republicans are looking to cut more than $200 billion from SNAP as part of their efforts, alongside President Trump, to extend the 2017 tax cuts. So they've proposed requiring states to pick up anywhere from 5% to 25% of SNAP costs, depending on each state's, quote, payment error rate for SNAP benefits. Maine could fall into the 25% bracket based on the overpayment and underpayment rate from fiscal year 2023. Pingree, a Democrat, told colleagues on the House Agriculture Committee that could cost Maine state government nearly $100 million. And she described the Republican proposal as a, quote, backdoor way of sending this program into a death spiral.
And let's not sugarcoat what this bill is. It's a $300 billion assault on struggling families, seniors, children, and veterans, all to fund tax breaks for billionaires and corporations.
More than 170,000 Maine residents, or roughly 13% of the state, were receiving SNAP benefits as of January of this year. House Republicans are rushing to finish work on the budget bill before the Memorial Day recess. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Kevin Miller.
One of the arguments against allowing transgender female athletes from competing in girls' and women's sports is that it's unfair and a violation of Title IX, the federal anti-discrimination law. Maine is at the epicenter of a national debate on the issue, and the Trump administration is suing the state for allegedly violating Title IX. But some civil rights advocates say that the new focus on transgender athletes ignores more significant and chronic violations of the law that's intended to ensure equity in scholastic sports. Patty White reports.
It was March, Women's History Month, when Republican Representative Laurel Libby stepped to a lectern at a statehouse press conference to decry Maine's policies on transgender athletes.
We find ourselves in a battle to preserve the very definition of what it means to be a woman.
Flanked by female Republican colleagues clad in white, in honor of suffragettes more than a century ago, Libby pronounced that transgender athletes are a threat to women's hard-earned rights.
Today, we are declaring that we will not stand idly by and allow those rights to be stripped away in exchange for an empty, woke ideology that celebrates the mediocre over true womanhood.
Just a couple weeks before, Libby had thrust Maine into the national spotlight. She posted the photo of a transgender high school pole vaulting champion on social media and criticized the athlete for, quote, dominating girls' sports. At the press conference, she took aim at Maine policies that allowed it to happen.
Title IX is not being upheld. Our girls are not seeing a fair and level playing field. And that is what's at stake here.
But critics say the movement to ban transgender athletes from girls' sports doesn't have anything to do with fairness.
This is not about protecting women.
Shiwali Patel is with the National Women's Law Center.
It really is about targeting a group of people, you know, dehumanizing trans people and stripping them of protections and not doing anything to address the actual gender equities in sports.
Title IX prohibits sex discrimination in schools that receive federal funding and applies to activities including sports. Patel says the law has done a lot to bolster equity for women and girls since it was passed more than 50 years ago, but there are still disparities. Girls in U.S. high schools have about a million fewer roster positions than boys, and women in college have nearly 60,000 fewer opportunities to participate. And equity advocates say it's a problem that's persisted for years.
There are still so many colleges and universities that are not fully complying with Title IX, and many people are not aware of that.
Pam Seidenman is the founder of Accelerate Equity, which tracks gender equity in college sports using federal data. When comparing the percentage of female students to male students, Seidenman says Maine colleges are short more than 1,600 roster spots for women athletes.
If people do have a sincere concern about increasing equity, increasing opportunities to play sports is really the most impactful thing that people can do.
Funding discrepancies are another measure of inequity. While data compiled by Accelerate Equity shows spending at some Maine colleges is more equitable than others, collectively, there's a gap of more than $6 million between men's and women's athletic programs. In one recent prominent case, six female coaches sued Colby College for unequal pay. The case was ultimately settled.
The routine pay gap that women coaches and coaches of women's teams have had over the span of 50 years is really indicative of a pattern of discrimination that schools need to be held accountable for.
Ellen Starowski is a professor in sports media at Ithaca College. She says she's puzzled by the lack of outrage over the routine discrimination women experience in areas such as pay, team spending, and roster spots.
That's the issue that needs to be addressed here, is that we do have sex discrimination in this system that is already robbing hundreds and thousands of women of opportunities. And none of that has anything to do with transgender women athletes.
Starowski says the focus on transgender athletes is also misplaced because there are so few of them. The president of the NCAA has estimated there are fewer than 10 among the 500,000 college athletes nationwide. And the Maine Principals Association has said only 2 transgender athletes competed in girls' high school sports this year. The Maine Human Rights Commission's executive director, Kit Thompson-Crossman, can't recall any cases involving transgender athletes.
I have talked to my commission counsel, who's been here for over a decade. Between the two of us, we do not remember a case that was based on a transgender athlete either experiencing discrimination or somebody filing a complaint because there was a transgender athlete on their sports team.
I know it's a few people. I think it could be more in the coming years. And so that's why it's so important to tackle it right now.
Assistant Maine House Republican leader Katrina Smith says the unfairness created by Maine's transgender policies only compounds the barriers women and girls face in scholastic sports.
And so then when you're adding transgender athletes into the mix, I think you see that girls are working even harder to be recognized for the skills that they have or for the accomplishments that they want to achieve.
Smith and her Republican colleagues are sponsoring bills that seek to ban transgender athletes from competing in girls' sports. She says she'd like to see the issue resolved. And opponents to transgender bans say they'd like the same, so that the focus can be on what they say are the actual disparities women and girls face in athletics. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Patty White.
And that's today's Maine News. For more stories, visit mainepublic.org. Coming up on Maine Calling at 11 o'clock tomorrow morning, America's shared values. I'm Nicole Ogrisco. Thanks for listening.